Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the issue we're talking about today is one that is a somber, serious issue that I believe every listener under the sound of my voice needs to understand and recognize and stand up, speak up, do something, and not continue to be silent, hidden in a closet or under the bed. I believe that we're watching today, ladies and gentlemen, our liberties are being stolen. They're doing so by so-called contact tracing, immune certification, drones flying over your homes and across the land. Planning to somehow, some way, check every human being to make sure that you're immune from the virus so that you can have a immune certification in your pocket so that you can go into a store and say, I'm immune, let me in. And we'll talk about that further in the balance of this broadcast. We're delighted to have Greg, one of our sons. Greg Youngblood is with us today, and I'm thankful that he's with us to talk about these issues. Greg, you've heard my monologue, my dialogue and discussion thus far. Our liberties are being stolen. They're being stolen by the political elitist in America and at the behest of Bill Gates and his wanting to inject every human being with his microchip vaccination that's supposed to prevent us from being able to get the future viruses. What do you think? Are we losing our liberties? How are we losing them? What is the result? What should we do? How should we then live, as Francis Schaeffer said back in the 60s?
It's beginning to sound a lot like days, years gone by in Germany. You know, let me see your papers. Let me see your papers. You know, we need some documentation to prove that we're who we say we are, and we don't have this Wuhan flu. It's amazing how the left in America is more than happy to take a free people and subjugate them in such a fashion, compel them, potentially attempt to compel them to carry papers to document whether or not they have a flu. Those same people are not willing to require an ID in order to vote. I mean, so we have some real blatant hypocrisy going on. You know, they would say that that's racist, and we seem to be seeing a massive shift in what has been called the Overton window. The Overton window, when you look through that window, you view the things that are acceptable, you know, socially and politically, right now in this time. Well, that window has shifted. You know, 6 months ago, we would have never assumed that some of the things that are viewed as acceptable today would be acceptable. And even conservatives have, many of them, embraced things that heretofore they would not have embraced. You know, they've shut down churches while they're willing to call liquor sales and abortion essential. You know, they're going to tell 330 million free people that they need to stay home. They're going to forcibly quarantine people who aren't even sick. You know, now we're also looking at going another $3 trillion into deficit/debt spending this year. We're going to spend more money, not just more money we take in, but we're going to spend twice as much money as we take in the federal government this year. It doesn't make any sense. We're going to pay productive people to sit at home and not be productive. We're going to cast the most lively economy in the world into recession. Our freedoms are definitively under assault. And you have individuals that are leaders like New Jersey governor that when interviewed by Tucker Carlson, and he was asked, well, did you consider constitutional rights? Did you consider civil liberties before you made this decision? And he said, no, that wasn't even on his mind. That was above his pay grade. I have news for you, folks. That is exactly what our public servants, they're supposed to be paying attention to those things. Their first oath is to support, protect, and defend the Constitution. And then you have organizations like Facebook joining in. Facebook now shut down. They had an open New Jersey rally protest, you know, plan, you know, just like they did in Wisconsin or Michigan, where they're driving around in protest, you know, against the perpetual shutdown. And there was a promotion that was planned online, and Facebook shut that down. They said, you know, we can't allow this to go forward. You know, this is lawlessness. My goodness, where are the patriots in our society today? It's like all the patriots, you're one. We have a handful of patriot public servants across the United States, but it seems like
you touched on that with the Facebook shutting it down. I'm looking at the article about that. It says your event goes against our community standards on coordinating harm and promoting crime, And this was about presenting and promoting the rally for New Jersey, Open New Jersey. They're saying Open New Jersey, May 1 of 2020. The article says, shortly before the page was shut down, everyone viewing the page was prompted to review social distance guidelines. I've been going on about this for years. I'm sure regular readers are sick and tired of it. But if you don't break up the big dot-coms, Google, Facebook, particularly the Bill of Rights, will become a deal, a dead letter document. This should be yet another reminder. For example, this writer goes on to talk about Black Lives Matter. They didn't do anything about shutting it down. The dot-coms are collecting and sharing data with authorities. They're treating political dissidents as corona policy as a crime and using tracking to push propaganda to users. This is no longer just about conservative media and fact-checking. This is not about coronavirus hoaxes. Facebook is treating people who want to open up their states a legitimate policy difference as committing a crime. This is a huge problem when the dot-com monopoly controls 80% of social traffic. This article further says the only reason the Democrats have been able to do what they do is because the big dot-coms are behind them. And if you think this is bad, wait until the election is at stake, end quote. That's taking place, Greg, and it's not only the shutting down of the dissident, such as the promotion of those rallies to say, let's get back to work. But one of the things that is so sad is that our freedom, for example, we have been pushing across America now, Greg, since the shutdown, saying for churches, pastors, don't you worry. You can just video stream and have your messages. Some pastors standing up on the rooftop of the churches preaching with a bullhorn. Some up on scissor lifts preaching with a bullhorn with the cars in the parking lot. And too many pastors, if I can say this, Greg, too many pastors mm-hmm. across America have hidden in the closet and under the beds and simply said, yes, sir, to the mandate to shut the churches down, which is a violation of our First Amendment rights of the freedom to worship without any governance intervention, not any intervention. And yet there are those that will say, well, we've got the coronavirus. We need to do something. So therefore, after all, churches could get infected. So therefore, we need to shut the churches down. And churches can simply go online. But there's a major, major problem because right now they're shutting down some religious services. Here's an article that says YouTube removes a Sunday school teacher's lesson about John the Baptist, dated April the 19th. So the government told Americans we should have that we had shut down our churches and houses to the people could worship online. Some states slapped fines on church members who refused to comply. Others were ordered to undergo mandatory quarantines. Several were subjected to surveillance by state police. Our governmental leaders told us not to worry because we could still worship online. But what are Christians supposed to do when big tech devices and decides to shut down online church services and Bible studies? Ray Wright, a Sunday school teacher at Calvary Chapel, East Anaheim, California, announced on Facebook that YouTube had removed his lesson, Sunday school lesson, for 5th and 6th graders. The YouTube video, 5th and 6th grade lessons with Teacher Ray, John baptized and pointed to Jesus, according to his lesson, was flagged for us to review. The YouTube notice read, upon review, we've determined that this violates our guidelines and we've removed it from YouTube, end quote. Mr. Wright said he was given no further information. Mr. Wright, the Sunday school teacher online, said, I had no foul language, no nudity, nothing explicit, just a message about Jesus Christ. He wrote on Facebook, perhaps it was too uplifting, too wholesome, too encouraging. Does YouTube prefer that we not teach kids about godliness and goodness to our neighbors? That's a good example, Greg, of where we're going in America. If we, the people, if we as Christians, if we as pastors and churches succumb to this crisis in this fashion and close the churches and say, we'll simply go online, the next crisis, the next step will be to permanently remove any message, even online. What do you say to that? What is your opinion on the potentiality of that, Greg?
Well, you know, first off, I don't want for anyone listening today to think that you or any pastor who's willing to open the church up and separate ourselves. When I say separate ourselves, we're willing to go in and enjoy the service together, but what do you call it? Social distancing, you know, spread out and not put folks at risk. I don't want for folks to think that we're advocating for jeopardizing the population. You know, folks
not at
are
all.
Sick
no.
Or high risk. I'd say those folks, you need to stay home a little longer. But if you're healthy and low risk, you know, go out. First off, help your neighbor that's in that high risk category, but go out and reengage in the culture. This is for everyone, but particularly believers. Reengage in the culture. Get back to work. I believe that this has been used as an opportunity for the left. It's been used as an opportunity internationally to bring the United States to its knees economically and to subjugate Christians and conservatives within the culture. And I believe I'm seeing more and more Facebook and Google and the big, you know, Fang type, as they call them, Fang, I guess, Facebook, Alphabet, Google, whatever the last one was. I believe Google was the last one. Nonetheless, those are no longer the neutral platforms that they claim to be, particularly Facebook and YouTube. They're not neutral platforms. They're giving protections like they're a neutral platform. They just, you know, people come in, but they're not editing. They're not going through the content and picking and choosing. Well, that's exactly what they're doing. So if they choose to curtail the conversations and communications of conservatives and Christians, I'm sorry, but they can no longer say we're just a neutral platform. You know, the deep state is real. The targeting of Christians and conservatives is real, and it's not just IRS with Lois Lerner and her targeting the Tea Party groups. It's literally across the board. You can give hundreds and hundreds of examples, and believers need to realize this is going on. You need to use the wisdom God's given you to realize that there's actually a battle taking place. And we know we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness, and high places. We understand that it is not just these organizations. You know, they're being led. But don't be naive. And this sort of thing, it repeats and repeats and repeats. We've just gotten to the stage now where it's, again, looking like the prelude to revolution. And matter of fact, you might say it's counter-revolutionary, you know, what we're doing, because a revolution has been taking place for decades where these individuals that have moved into the deep state that are more and more and more trying to control and subjugate the believer. Okay? And today, if you step back in time and you look at folks like Samuel Adams, now Samuel Adams got, you know, if you ask a young person today, well, who's Samuel Adams, they're going to start talking about beer. Okay, they have no earthly clue, many of them. But he said, if you love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or your arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which may feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were ever our countrymen. I would say that as a challenge to folks today. If you're so ignorant, bless you, if you're ignorant, you need to stay out of this debate. But if you've been studying and you realize not only the historical precedent that's been set and what's taking place right now today, doggone it, folks, right now is the time to stand up and be counted. Engage, lest your rights be lost forever.
I say stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. As Christians, in particular, as pastors in specificity, we need to be the watchman on the wall that God has called us to be. A watchman on the wall is the one that sees it coming and warns danger coming, danger, danger, and identifies it. We have that responsibility before God. And if we do not do that, according to the Bible, the blood will be on our hands. We have that responsibility. And ladies and gentlemen, we have the responsibility, and I take it very seriously. Greg, here's an article entitled, Freedom is Essential. It's time to open our country back up. Now, the article begins. Initially, we were told it would be for 2 weeks. Then we were told our country would go back after Easter. Well, Easter is come and gone. Still the world is in quarantine mode. And now some reports say that it'll be only after another 2 weeks. Bill Gates, however, says that we must remain in a national shutdown for at least 10 more weeks. I have to wonder, this writer says, what his area of expertise happens to be. How can how can it even, how can it keep the virus from infecting us through the windows and his computers, perhaps? And that little tyrant, Dr. Anthony Fauci, has stated that the world must remain locked down for another 18 months. The article goes on to talk about, meanwhile, things are getting crazier. Around the WorldNet Daily, the experts' predictions of 50,000 people being hospitalized in New York in April, by April the 1st, was 400% high. Hospitals across the country are hurting, along with the rest of the business, as they prepare for prepared for a huge influx of COVID-19 patients. They canceled all elective surgeries, and most are only open for emergencies now. But the coronavirus patients never came. So most hospitals are now sitting empty, as we've seen in the videos posted online by citizen reporters have personally gone to their own local hospitals and clinics to check the situation out for themselves. What they found was that they're seeing the evening news is not what is taking place in real life. We're being lied to and on a massive scale. And it goes on to talk about the different areas and how we're being lied to and what is taking place. Greg, one of the things that I find that is so onerous is that we're told in order to open back up that businesses must be the ones to take the responsibility to make sure that we do not spread the coronavirus. And there's some recommendations that businesses require that people come in with an armband. They recommended a light blue armband, so I'm going to use that as their recommendation. If you have been tested and you've got your virus-free certificate where you've been deemed free of a virus, you can put on your blue armband. You walk into a store, that store owner, that storekeeper, that shopkeeper, that clerk will allow you to come in. But if you don't have the blue armband on, then you're not allowed to come in unless there's some type outward recognition that you are free of the virus. It is recommended that businesses not allow you to come in. In fact, one recommendation was, and this is coming from the White Jackets out of Washington and New York, the elitists that are supposed to be telling us how to live our lives. Some of these white jacketed folks have told us that these business owners need to have a little stand outside the door with a thermometer with some type to register your temperature. And if it's an elevated temperature, in other words, if you have a fever, that you'll not be allowed to go into the store. That's being bounded about as a real potentiality of being injected into our society. And it is introduced into society for businesses to take that responsibility. Greg, how does that fit with our Bill of Rights? How does that fit with our constitutional liberties and freedoms? Isn't that something similar to the Hitler approach where the Jews had to wear a yellow star armband to be able to shop or walk on the streets even?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, they just need to go ahead and bypass the armband and go with a cross or a Star of David or a tattoo on the arm or something. I mean, that way their level of fascism, their level of totalitarian control will be fully evident. However, we have scads of young people that believe that the Holocaust didn't take place. We have scads of young people that have no earthly clue the devastation of Germany, just like the young people that don't understand the devastation of socialism, even though it's going on right under their nose today in country after country, particularly South America and Venezuela. It's sad, but believers in particular that are of age and understand their history and understand their Bible, we've got an obligation, according to Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7, to share with the next generation and the next generation. These folks, now, they may have a PhD at 22 years old, but I have news for you. Tons of them are running around. They're completely ignorant. They've been taught by the bastions of leftism and liberalism within our colleges and universities. So do not assume that because they've got their lambskin on the wall that somehow or another they have attained some great deal of knowledge or understanding that perhaps you lack. Educate them, folks. Educate them. As well, don't give up your freedom so easily. If we lay this down, it's not to be hefted back up by the next generation easily. This is something. This is the freedoms that we have, the liberties that we have in America were hard fought. Lots of blood was spilled in order to achieve what we have in America. As you walk through our civil liberties, the first articulated, which limits the government, is dealing with our freedom of religion, but also you have the freedom of the press and freedom of speech. Think about just that one event where those in New Jersey wanted to protest, and all of a sudden Facebook shuts them down. Facebook did that which the government cannot lawfully do and said, we're going to shut you down. We're going to stop the dissemination of this information. Now, you might not agree with Open Up New Jersey, but you've got some issue in your life out there, folks. Something that you go, you know what, government's doing this wrong. What happens when they shut you up? What happens when they say, sorry, you can't protest? We're not going to let you put that on Facebook. By the way, Facebook's doing that every single day. You have no clue how many posts I have personally placed on Facebook where they put the screen of shame over it, and they fact-check one little nuance in there, and they want to tell people that what you're sharing is not true. And then you read the whole story, and you find out that one sentence out of a three-page article, they had some little issue with some little nuance, or they just black it out again altogether, like the New Jersey protest. No, nope, we're not going to let y'all go forward with this.
Great, They're doing that with Facebook when it comes to fact-checking about the Wuhan laboratory. I've got an article that says, and this is interesting, you touched on that, Facebook fact-checker previously worked at Wuhan lab, title of the article, dated April the 17th. A contributor to a Facebook fact-checking organization that censored articles suggesting that coronavirus pandemic originated in the Wuhan Institute of Virology collaborated with a scientist at the Chinese lab. Danielle Anderson of Duke University NUS Medical School Lab in Singapore published nine times with Dr. Zhuhong Ping, who is known for his research on bats. Anderson contributed to science feedback, and Facebook was using to put false information labels on articles about the virus that were in fact true. In fact, Facebook, if you write anything that is deemed to be negative, i.e. telling the truth about Wuhan lab and where the virus originated, if there's any article that is truth about that, it is then blinded and sent to World Health Organization for them to respond as to what is true and what is false and counter what you've said that is absolutely factual if it is on Facebook. It goes on to say, investigative reporter Cheryl Atkinson pointed out Anderson's relationship with the Wuhan lab in a Twitter message. She noted Anderson had said it's impossible that the virus would have leaked from the lab because it adheres to the high standards of safety. And that's a lie. In 2018, there was a research study done, and the State Department warned the Wuhan lab that it was operating loosey-goosey, as I would call it, and that the virus could be somehow released. Yet here, as you touched on that, because the fact-checking is done by those that do not want the facts, the truth, to be told, and so the fact-checking is phony, farce, and is designed to squelch truth and designed to prevent truth from getting out. Greg, there's a further thing that's taking place that's in many ways inhibiting our liberties and our freedom, and that's the snitch system. Hitler called it the brown shirts. It is the snitch system. In fact, in New York, The governor there is encouraging the mayor in New York City in particular, Mayor Bill de Blasio, this article says, encouraging New Yorkers to snitch on neighbors who violate social distancing. It is the Hitler brown shirt system. He emphasized that not just calling in, there's a 311 number, but now the mayor's saying not just calling in, but he's recommending that the citizens of New York City take photographs and email them to the police department so that the police department could arrest those that are not following the requirements of social distancing. Greg, what does that bode for our Constitution and for our liberties in America?
I mean, liberties kind of get squelched. They kind of get erased. You know, that harkens back to the days of, you know, socialist Germany or communist Russia, where literally folks would come out the doors of their homes and they couldn't look one another in the face. Because you never know, if you look one another in the face, you might give the wrong look, and then that person may target you and say, oh, he's violating curfew, or he's, you know, she's doing X, Y, or Z. Friends of mine from Russia said that when they would leave to go out to meet for church with other believers, they would go out to meet in the woods, and they had to go out, slip out one or two at a time here and there in order to gather in the woods. Because if you go together, four or five of you, all of a sudden you're going to draw a lot of attention. And folks may go, what are they doing? Where are they going? But the snitches would turn you in. And a young lady that came from Russia said that at one time she's meeting in this church service out in the woods. And as she bowed her head to pray, an officer grabbed her by the shoulder and said, what are you doing here? She was severely scolded and many were taken to jail. I feel like we're living those days again. You look back in time, and at the time the Declaration of Independence was drafted and finally signed, and the 33-count indictment against King George in that declaration, you have 33 specific things that King George had done wrong. If you get to the end of the indictment, it says, at every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. I have news for you today. The little tyrants running around, your de Blasios of the world. Now, granted, I want folks to realize I understand Manhattan is different than Sevierville, Tennessee. Manhattan is different than Columbus, Ohio. Manhattan is different than so many small-town America places all over the United States, flyover country, as the left would tag us. However, when you become a tyrant, a little dictator, a little totalitarian, and you want to micromanage every detail of a person's life, you want to put people into quarantine that are not sick, you want to maintain a shutdown into perpetuity, that person is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. You know, we should know enough of history not to just roll over and play dead. He is, by the way, as much as these folks, these governors and these mayors around the United States, as much as you may respect some of them, perhaps many of them, they're people. They're people. Don't ever assume that, oh, that person's a genius and we need to just bow. You know, that's making a god out of a human being, and you ought never, never, never do that. Use your own mind. God's given you wisdom. God's given you understanding. Apply it in your daily life.
Yes. Yes, Greg, there's one final point. We've got about 45 seconds, and I'll toss it out and let you wrap up by commenting on it. We're using drones now across America to focus and to trace people, to look at people. China's been using that for years. They look at even the iris of the eye from 4,000 feet away and be able to report them to the police. What do you think about our liberties being confiscated via the drone system? We've got about 30 seconds. Respond to that for our listeners.
We cannot allow the state to become a totalitarian state where they control every single nitpicking thing in your life. And I'll give you one more quote as Patrick Henry wrapped up his Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech. He says, is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Every single believer should enjoy the liberty that God has given you. Keep it, hold it dear.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.